having the most fun on the way home.
Everyone's out to have fun.
Let's party.
VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where Brandy gets practical and personal here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. Heard on our new day and time, Thursdays from 5 to 6. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands. Your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Question: was your first car un-American? Was it foreign or domestic? Tell us about your first car brand, and let's talk about this. And this is what one of the things we're going to talk about, because it's something I talked about on the Fox Opinion page. So give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And if you're going to foxnews.com right now to look for this post, you will find that it's nowhere to be found. They are going to republish it for the weekend. And and we'll have on our Brand Talk Facebook group page, a link there so that you will be able to read it. And we're going to get into it a little bit, but there's nothing like reading what I say orally, and the oral tradition. There's something to be said about the oral tradition, but there's even more to be said about the written tradition. So anyway, we love to hear what about your car, your first car experience. And I was talking before we got on air what TJ's father's first car was, and we haven't really gotten into what his first car was. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. So that's 914-636-0110, whether or not your car was un-American or domestic or foreign. And we, of course, will be doing our brand winner and loser, and we have some surprises there. And our guest today is Ben Hersey, who is an actor, producer, and writer, and I'm going to add marketer and branding practitioner, who is involved with a number of interesting projects. We're going to interview him, and one of these projects that caught my eye, and you have to go to his website and see it. It's a takeoff on President Obama addressing the nation on his campaign of pull your pants up. And you see it on YouTube, and it's very, very clever and produced very, very well. And I think he would be great on Huckabee, by the way. I really think but anyway, we're going to talk to him about this and why I think he's a great marketer. And this will be done after the break, around 5:32. So anyway, well, if you're joining us for the first time today, folks, this show is about understanding brands. That's what we call a brand talk. And whether or not we are talking about personal, professional, or small business brands, at Brand Talk, we use the same marketing principles that Fortune 500 companies use so that you can go brand yourself and become the brand you are truly meant to be. And during the hour, myself, Dr. John Tantillo, and my friend and colleague, TJ McCormick.
Hi, y'all!
Want to provide you with some branding and marketing gems that are going to be helpful to you as you go through the marketplace. And this is a call-in show, and it's your show. We want to hear from you and about your brand.
And your car. Your first car.
And your first car. Absolutely. How could I... I did not know
which
that.
Is part of, which could very well be a part of the foundation of a lot of people's brand. Their own personal brand.
I love it. You are so good.
See how I... That's what I'm here for!
I think you should be a partner to a radio talk show host.
That's why you pay me $17,000 a week.
Yes.
For 1 hour each week. 17
Absolutely.
Grand. That's a lot of money.
It's billions in the cosmos.
I am making so much. And that, but that's why. To come up with one gem a show. I just earned my 17K. Go on. Go
okay.
On.
I will proceed.
Continue.
I will proceed.
Proceed.
Okay. That, of course, was TJ McCormick, my brand guru and co-partner in this endeavor that we call a brand talk. And, you know, what we want to do is give you some takeaways. And, you know, I got such a positive response from our friend Hassan.
Yes.
Who is the small business owner in Tarrytown with Mint Premium Foods, that what we're going to be starting in a few weeks is this segment of the show where we will ask, ooh, what's that noise we hear? I think it's the air conditioner, folks. But we're going to take care of that. Okay, that sounds better. That sounds better. Anyway, we're going to have this new segment of the show where if you would like to call in about your business or about a future business that you want to start, that would be wonderful. And we're going to also do profiles of people that have, in fact, done that, that has started a business. And one of these days I am going to get Joe Slakis on the phone. Not next week, because next week is the Best of Westchester event. He's going to be so busy with that. But for those people that have made the plunge and started their own business and give us, the listeners, the secrets.
We should get
to
my
success.
Wifey in here.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
and
you
got her in here.
Yes, anytime.
She's great on radio.
Yeah.
She's done a lot of radio.
And she looks great on radio.
She looks great on radio, too. Yeah.
And she also looks great on television.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's a date.
That's an easy one.
Okay. But we wanna extend this invitation.
And my girlfriend. Shoot. You know what? Sometimes I just I don't
You're
I don't
not
have
supposed
a filter.
To say that.
I don't have a filter.
No,
okay, go ahead.
Okay.
She's self-employed. Well,
bada bing.
Okay, just go ahead.
Stop it. Sorry. You're going to get me in the middle. I don't, that didn't come out the right way, did it? Anyway, 914-636-0110. This is WVOX. It's Brand Talk. It's McCormick. It's Tantillo. And we're having a ball. We want you to have a ball about talking about brands. You know, TJ,
yes, sir.
When I used to teach statistics, when I was a professor, and when I was educating the youth of America, you know, what they used to say about Tantillo is with Tantillo, you laugh and learn.
Yes.
And so what we like to do at Brand Talk is keep it light.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not, you know, but yet there's a takeaway. And so people can say, I did not know that.
Absolutely.
And by the way, we're going to have a did you know that today. And we're going to have a winner and a loser. And we got like a little surprise after the break, because we're gonna do some nice little production things that are going to add to the show.
I did
because,
not know.
Right. I bet you did not know.
I was not aware.
I bet you were aware, but you're just pulling my leg.
No, about all the productive stuff.
Well, it's a small thing. Okay. But we see we got our engineers, Chuck and Nick, so excited about this show.
Right.
That they do things magically.
Yes.
They make Houdini look like a mere mortal.
Look like a mere like an amateur.
Like an amateur. But more to tell.
Right now, Nick and Chuck are having a fist fight because Nick says it should be Nick and Chuck. Chuck says it should be Chuck and Nick.
Okay. Well, let's move to this topic about was your first car un-American? And you know, my first car was a Volkswagen. It was a black 19. What was it?
66. You said
66. Okay. It was either a 66 and a 67. I don't remember what I put on the page, but it was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It was a black, what they call a fastback.
Okay.
And I was going to school. I was going to Hofstra.
Right.
On Long Island, and I was a graduate student.
Mm-hmm.
My father knew enough not to give me the keys to the car.
Right.
Because I had cracked up one of them already. So cracked up the Oldsmobile.
Oh,
and that was we didn't want to go there.
Hey, let's make sure, you know, let's just turn on. Let's make sure Frank's mic is turned on. Let's very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because this is going back and we have a touchstone in your life. This is your life.
Well, but the reason. Well, wait a minute.
Go
he's
ahead.
Not just he's not just a touchstone. Okay.
Right. He's an authority.
He is authority on all things culture. I'm gonna name him.
Uh-huh.
Don't go there. But I'm gonna say, I call him.
Yeah.
We all have like nicknames, like you know, in the mob they have different, you know, Johnny the Hat, Joey the Mind, or Joey the Brain. Anyway, well, he is the culture king. Because he is trying to get me to go to a Broadway show,
right,
which I avoid like the plague.
Yeah, you don't like
Broadway. I just cannot stand I love going to concerts. Mm-hmm. Music I like.
Right.
But to go to be or not to be.
Wow, if it was that.
That. Is the that's not my brand.
No, that don't float.
And
your
if
boat.
I ever were married, and if I ever ever decided to get married in the prenuptial agreement,
there would be
no going to Broadway shows.
Yeah.
Now that would
Now I'm with you.
I can't do it. But but music, I love music. And by the way, as a result of the culture king Frank Krasovic from Ridgewood, Queens, New York, now who lives in Forest Hills, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're going to see Frank Sinatra Jr. Mm-hmm. at the townhouse.
Right?
No, town hall.
Wait, town hall. Townhouse, town hall, whatever the heck.
You're gonna go to Frank Jr.'s condo?
We're gonna go to his condo. Anyway, so we're gonna go, and I hear that he really has a great voice.
Absolutely.
He's not, I guess the problem was he was always compared to his father, and he didn't have that kind of strength in the voice. And we're gonna get
he didn't have the drawing power actually either. You know, his father was the name, and he was just you know the son of the father.
But I mean, there's nobody. I understand that. And you also brought up another point. He doesn't have to make money. He's loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
don't need to fill every seat.
Right.
You know, he might want to, but, you know, he's just fine.
Yeah.
Well, it's this Monday night, 8 o'clock at Town Hall.
Yeah.
On 43rd Street in Manhattan.
Yeah. Should be great.
And
I hear he does do a great show.
With the people full orchestra.
Exactly. And people go in, invariably, you'll have people going in skeptical. You know, thinking, all right, let's see how the kid holds up to his father. And I think a lot of times you have to just sort of suspend all of that cynicism and enjoy the show. And I think just as invariably legions of people walk out of these junior shows saying, boy, that guy is fabulous. Holds his own.
Yeah. Because, you know, and you got to understand that there's a whole generation. Like, here we go. He's going to kill me because he said, you always bring up your parents. You always bring up your father. This is the culture king over there. But the reason I do it, it's a transitional generational kind of thing. And the old timers, they did not like Frank Sinatra Jr. Because they didn't like him. They compared him to his father and...
They almost thought there's no need for this. There's no need.
But if you take a look at this guy's voice today with other musical male artists,
sure,
he stands alone.
Take his father out of the equation. He does very, very well.
He does very, very well. And, well, hey, why don't you give us a call? How do you feel about Frank Sinatra Jr.?
How do you feel about Frank? How do you feel about our Frank?
Oh, yes.
How do you feel about Frank Krasovic?
The culture king. 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. So this piece that I did for Fox on my first car, you know, I was a graduate student. I didn't have a lot of money, and I needed a car that was going to work very, very efficiently, gas-wise. And we had been hit when I bought my first car, and I believe it was 76. Yeah, in 76.
There was a gas embargo
in 73.
But it was continuing and it was going
on. It was going, right. So we were, you know, at our age, we were young pups, young colts.
And you bought a used car.
And you bought a used car, absolutely. And your first car was a Toyota, Frank.
A Mark IV.
Mark IV. Everybody, see, at that time,
Toyota Mark IV.
We were all into, even though our parents, his family was a Ford family,
right.
And my family was the GM family.
Okay,
and that's the way that went. Yeah. They were very proud of our parents' generation. Were very proud of American car manufacturing.
Right,
built America.
My dad had a Galaxy, a Ford Galaxy.
Yes. Oh, that's a sharp car.
Yeah, it was like a limousine for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But at the time, my father would say, "Yeah, you know, you got a Ford Galaxy, and you turn the window, and the window handle comes off. You know, they're not made the way a GM car is." You know, he would be going off on that score. But the point is that my GM and Ford, for the most part, thought, which was similar to what I think some manufacturers try to do, is find some ephemeral reason for why people buy cars, as opposed to very practical reasons why people buy cars. And the practical reason in the late 1970s or mid-70s was gas mileage. Mm-hmm. And you could go to a Ford manufacturing plant and look into the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And 95% of the cars were foreign cars. They were small cars. They weren't even Fords. You knew that there's going to be trouble in them there hills.
Mm-hmm.
So my point here in this article was that the American car manufacturers at the time, they weren't responding to the needs of Americans, or at least the new generation of Americans that were coming up, they were responding to the old needs. Well, we'll build a car for wherever you are in the family life cycle. And they completely missed this gas idea.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, and the lesson here to learn,
right.
And I guess it's the teacher in me. And by the way, you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. We're with TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, and our host who's off to Chicago, culture king, Frank Krasovic.
He's going to Chicago?
And Chicago? I have no idea.
Never been to Chicago.
And you know what?
I got to see what it's like.
And if you're looking for another Krasovic, I think you're
you may find one.
I think there's a nest of Krasovics in Chicago.
A nest
of them.
Anyway, 914-636-0110. But the point that we're trying to make here, as I like to say, marketing is not about selling. It's about establishing what it is that people want and giving it to them. And the railroads didn't see, and we're going to be talking about the railroads a little bit later for our winner and loser.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll kind of like tease you what my winner is, which is somebody, of course it's a singer, I love music. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just great. She's got a movie out, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. But 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. So that's my little, you know the difference between a sermon and a homily?
Homily, I know, is the term we use in the Catholic Church as opposed to a sermon.
No. They used to use sermons in the Catholic Church.
Okay, a homily then, I'm going to take a guess, all right? A homily is something to do. Is a homily an interpretation of the scripture?
That is exactly correct.
Really?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, my gosh.
You're right. And a sermon is preaching
right.
on a particular problem.
I got it. I am smart. Go ahead.
There's no question about it.
Getting back to your car situation, it wasn't only the gas, it was the size of the car also. Smaller cars, easier to park.
Ah.
When I think of my father's Ford Galaxy, this was a big boat.
Yeah.
It took up 1.5 times the space of a Datsun or another car. And it was really the smallest size, and a lot of times you didn't need six people in a car.
Wow. Yeah. You see, I hate to bring this up, but I was only five
during this time
that we're talking about.
Son.
Here. So,
son. Now you must go to timeout. A little too much candy for the child.
You are in rare form today.
Little old me.
Oh, my God.
Born
are you
in the log
funny
cabin
today?
In Queens. Yes.
Wow.
914-636-0110. This is Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. We have in the studio the culture king, Frank Krasovic, boyhood friend, mentor, and bon vivant. Although he doesn't appreciate fine restaurants. That's the only thing.
He doesn't appreciate them at all?
Well, he's a meat and potatoes guy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a very simple man. But exquisite taste. He could give you an artist. And, you know, he was at a museum, and he named an artist who used to do fat women, and a sculptor.
Botero.
I was telling
John on the way up here, I had gone to Los Angeles, and I met some people, and they said, go see the Weissman Collection. The Weissman Collection in a mansion in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And Weissman, he was the man who worked for American Can.
And, now listen to this. This is a good story.
He had an opportunity to bring a car over from Japan called Toyota. he chucked his job with American Can
this
and
sounds
went
like,
with
did
Toyota.
You know that?
This man became a multimillionaire bringing Toyota to America.
Okay.
So I had heard about his art collection.
Listen to this story. Only Krasovic could do this. Go ahead.
I had heard about his art collection, and I Googled it, Weissman, Los Angeles, and I called up a number, and I spoke to a lady who told me to be at the mansion in Beverly Hills at 11 a.m. on the following week. So I was in town. I went over there. I got there at, 20 to 11. So I killed a little time down the block, and it's hard to kill time in Beverly Hills on the side streets.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you stand out. No one else is around. So I got there 6 minutes to, I rang the gate bell, and she told me I was early.
Wow, 6 minutes early.
But she let me in.
This is the
she
point.
Said, I will let you in, and she says, stand over by the Botero, statue.
I would never have known this. I mean, I know... a great many things, but art is really, and I love art.
Sure.
I mean, I can appreciate, a piece of art and love it, but I don't have the art history, but go ahead.
The garden had a lot of pieces of sculpture, and there's one of this obese man, big thighs and all that, so I stood over there. And out of nowhere, this voice said, very good.
So he was tested. So this is it. But you bring
really?
Him, but you bring
yes.
him,
yeah.
you, but you bring him, to a fine restaurant. Not a good restaurant.
No.
I'm talking about like a fine...
You bring
like
him to a fine...
Like a La Bernardin.
You bring him to La Bernardin, he's asking for chicken fingers.
Never been there.
Never. Well, you're not going because I know...
So I've been told.
You bring him to La Bernardin, he's like, I'll have the macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
Do they have the macaroni?
Right.
And you're sitting there going,
better
yet.
On top.
No. And put some truffle sauce on we're not doing that.
No, just meat and potato. I don't want truffle sauce.
Right, anyway. 914-636-0110. What this is all, what we're trying to do here, and maybe it's getting a little bit off the beaten track, but it's really all about brands. And we have three distinct personality brands right here. Uh-huh. There's the JT brand, there is the TJ brand, and then there's the Krezovican brand. And he's the guy who knows everything about culture and anything I want. I don't have to go to Google about entertainment. You just go to him, and he knows it. But anyway.
And I'm seldom right. And never in doubt.
That's right. 914-636-0110. And this is Brand Talk, WVOX, Tantillo, McCormick, and Krezovic. And I'd like to start, just at least introduce so our folks will, in the engineering room there, we'll have something to work with. Anyway, folks, each week I choose two brands that I feel have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals. And so that's what we're going to do now. And my winner this week is the person who I just love her music. And anytime I'm a little depressed, I put her on, and that's Katy Perry. You know, mm-hmm. Are you a big Katy? Do the girls like? Does she like? You don't want to keep her away from them because you think that it's a little too suggestive.
No, you know, Millie is. Well, you mean my wife or my daughter?
Yeah, daughter.
My wife.
We talked about the
my
wife.
The more suggestive, the better. my 3-year-old. Definitely want. There we go. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. No, I love it.
Okay, we're talking about Katy Perry, so we got Katy Perry.
There's Nick.
This is the product. This excellent production group. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So you know, actually, yeah. I no. Right now, I still don't worry about the suggestiveness. If Millie likes a song, we'll let her dance to it.
Right.
Millie's 3, so.
That's great.
Well, why don't you take it away, and we'll come back fresh.
Is that right?
I've got to hit the showers. It's a halftime.
Okay.
It's halftime. Time for a massage.
Okay. Did you know that our actor friend that does Obama, after the break.
World and national news 3 times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lucera.
61 years of excellent service that Joe gave to the university is now marred.
Penn State Board of Trustees Chairwoman Karen Peetz reacting to the finding of the 8-month-long independent investigation into the university's sex abuse scandal.
Above all, we must restore trust in our community. We don't expect it to happen overnight. We will earn it back as we move forward and develop a culture of transparency and accountability.
The panel, headed by former FBI Chief Louis Freeh, finding top officials, including late football coach Joe Paterno, knew about the abuse, but did nothing to stop former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky from molesting young boys. He's awaiting sentencing on 45 counts of child sex abuse. On Wall Street, the Dow off 31, the Nasdaq down 22, the S&P down 6. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this evening. We'll see partly to mostly clear skies, overnight lows dropping back into the middle 60s. Mostly sunny, highs will range into the upper 80s with a southwesterly breeze on Friday. Fair night lows dropping near 70, more humid. Shower thunderstorm possible on Saturday into the upper 80s. Mostly cloudy. Shower thunderstorms likely on Sunday, highs into the lower 80s. Monday's weather, partly sunny into the afternoon, highs lower 90s. Steve Pelletieri Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
87 degrees in Rochelle.
You've been working way too hard on the way home.
Have some fun
with VOX.
WVOX.
right back. You're listening to Brand Talk, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Katy Perry as being the winner and why I love her so much and her new movie.
I can give you two reasons why I love Katy Perry.
Go ahead.
No, I better not.
Better not. Okay. And those are the two that I was thinking of. Yes. But on the phone, we have a very, very interesting guest. This man, I saw his work just as a matter of fact today. I went on his website, and he's going to give you the name of his website. I believe it's benhersey.com, but he'll correct me if I'm wrong. And he does this skit on President Obama, and I'm going to let him tell you about it. He is a very talented actor. He is a writer, and he's a producer, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you all, I think, an up-and-coming brand that you're going to see a lot of, Ben Hersey. Ben, welcome to Brand Talk.
Thank you. Thanks, John.
Of course I can hear you. I just want to say I loved your Obama skit. I thought you do a great Obama. I thought it was very funny, and I really did believe it was a newscast. It was great.
Thank you. That one, the one you're talking about, the Obama band's saggy jeans.
Yes.
Was one of the first things that I did, and that was in right around the time when, right after he was elected. I think we actually did that in 2009.
Wow.
2009. That was actually produced by a friend of mine named Marcus Bleeker,
mm-hmm.
who came to me and he said, listen, I have this idea that I want to, you know, it was right after...
he got elected.
There was some kind of hullabaloo about saggy jeans, that it's when Obama actually said, you know, I'm not going to be in the business of telling people what to wear, but having said that, you know,
well, I want you know what I liked about it? It established yourself as an actor and somebody who could was up to task. And, you know, it's very, very difficult to break through, as you well know. And I thought you did a wonderful job. And I don't want to just leave it there. I know you're very versatile. There are other things that we want to get to. But, this show is called Brand Talk. And what I was very, very impressed about with you is that we had met informally in a restaurant venue. And
yes.
As a result of our meeting, what you did is you reached out to me. And that's the kind of stuff. Those are the kinds of tactics which makes a brand and which differentiates you from all the others. And when an actor comes to me and asks what they should do to break the ice or break through, it's uniqueness. To not be like every other actor, but to be unique. So if all the geniuses are going to a call and all of them are in jeans and t-shirts, you should come in a blue blazer, a hat, and whatever you feel can best define your brand so you stand out.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well,
I'd like you to comment
on that. I have a couple of thoughts that all are kind of related to that.
Sure.
So if I may. So first,
no, that's true. Sure.
Where one thing is, when I went to college, and got a degree in theater, and then, and certainly before me, the thing that they didn't teach is why most actors don't certainly why they're not famous, but also why they end up deciding to pick something else as their vocation, and they have acting as an avocation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because what they didn't teach was that acting is a business as well as being talented. It doesn't really matter if you have all the talent in the world if you can't seem to promote yourself in a way that you would promote some other product.
Right.
And well, you.
Yes.
So that was, so to what you're saying is exactly right in that there
there's
this sense that actors, if they just study hard and they are really good, then automatically they rise to the top and everybody knows who they are and they get jobs and it's very easy.
Right. Well, what they teach you is they teach you your craft. They don't teach you how to market. And that's
right,
where
exactly.
a guy or a professional like me can come in. And in the old days, the studio would do that. But now
right.
there is no studio, so you gotta learn it for yourself. Now, Ben, I hope you're not going to be upset by this, but we do have a clip of you on YouTube that we're going to air right now, and maybe you can comment on that. So just hang in there, and then you can
okay.
maybe comment. Go ahead. Okay.
The pleasure of presenting to you four very funny monologues performed by a very talented actor named Ben Hersey. As we all know, the unemployment rate in this country is far too high, but it's going to take a significant amount of time to put folks back to work. In the meantime, Ben is proposing that we laugh a little about the situation, and I agree. Because we all know that while there are many out there who are unemployed through no fault of their own, there are plenty of folks who, shall we say, just not putting their best foot forward, or they're putting their foot too far forward, or maybe their best foot is behind them, or maybe they just have a really weird foot. You get my meaning. Laughter is a great way to relieve the pressure from a tough day at the office, or a tough day looking for a new office, or a tough day at the Oval Office, although I would have to take off every other day just for laughing if I really intended to put a dent in that Oval Office pressure. But every little bit helps. And Ben has put together four great monologues that I think we'll remember for a long time to come.
So, what was that about?
So, last year I did a show called Gold Panda Status.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think this is a great example for, I didn't know you were going to play that, but it's great.
I didn't know either. This is our Crackerjack staff.
About, in terms of marketing
right.
here today, because the thing, you know, I had no specific aspirations to be an Obama impersonator, but I looked like him and I managed to, with a
you
little
do.
Practice, be able to do him. And I wanted to find a way to take advantage of that. Certainly, while he was in office, and there was going to be all sorts of, attention on him.
Yes.
So I found that it was hard for me to I didn't want to build a whole show around
no.
being doing this impression, but
sure.
I had built over the couple of years prior to him coming into office, I had built quite a few characters. At a place called Manhattan Monologue Slam and a couple other venues where you get the opportunity to do 2 to 5 minute monologues, and you can pick
mm-hmm.
whatever you like.
Yeah.
I found that it was great for me to do some writing on my own, to write for myself and write for these characters and kind of bring them to life and then flesh them out later if I wanted to build other things around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had
yeah.
a bunch of characters and I wanted to put them in a show, and there was all kinds of talk at the time about, joblessness and unemployment, and I thought, okay, all of these characters seem to be looking for a job or just lost a job or have something to do with that. So why don't I take that? I'll take Obama and I'll use him as the glue for this show where I'm just doing my monologue.
Well,
that
you
I've
know
written.
What was interesting? Let me just say that the Obama is great as a vehicle to express your versatility. And I think, looking in on what you've done, and I've only had a cursory view of what you've done, but it would appear to me that what you want to do here is use that as one link in the chain, and what you
yeah.
want to do is build on that and do other things. But I agree with you. What you don't want to be is an Obama impersonator. But one of the things that I did notice on your website is that you develop characters. And
yes.
I think Obama, with all due respect to the presidency, he could be one of the President Obama character you should do. I don't mean any disrespect by calling the president a character, but
right.
You see where I'm going on this. And I think you have a good understanding of that. In the last few minutes here that I have with you, how do you perceive yourself? Are you an actor? Are you a writer? Are you a producer?
I'm an actor first, and the kind of the writing and producing has come out of necessity.
Sure.
As it's exactly what we're talking about in terms of marketing. There's more, you know,
absolutely.
With the internet now,
yeah.
as you can see, and that you mentioned Katy Perry earlier. She's a perfect example of the kind of person who has an original voice, a voice meaning talent, as
yes.
well as her actual singing voice.
Yes.
But she has a kind of an originality about her, and she just did her thing, and now there's more than ever. There's this opportunity, a kind of Wild West, that allows people to show people all over the world, all over the country, certainly, what they can do. And it's just
yes.
a matter of doing your thing and putting it up and talking about it and showing people. And
okay.
it's much easier than
yes.
what traditional routes were available for you before. So,
okay, but yes, you also...
I'm an actor first.
Yes.
I started writing because I enjoyed... I felt like I had a sense of that as an actor. I had a sense of how people talk and what things people say, and I
mm-hmm.
found that writing, I was getting pretty good at that. And then certainly, as I just mentioned, you know, anybody can be a producer today. Producer means you are putting out content.
Sure. And the secret
that
is...
That was one of the other points I wanted to make about something you mentioned earlier. But there's... When you're talking about the cars and kind of getting an idea of what people want, and
right.
I feel like these days there are two, especially with the internet, there are kind of two ways you can go. You can either... try to catch a wave of something that's hot,
mm-hmm.
which means you have to be really fast, which often means you have to have a lot of money because you got to do
right.
everything quick.
Right.
If you want to be the next big thing,
right.
And i.e. noticed for your originality, that means you have to be prolific. You have to be doing.
Absolutely.
You
got to be in the arena. There's no question. Where can people, Ben, we got to go. But Ben, before we leave, where can we find you? What's your website?
The website is benhersey.com.
That's easy. Go ahead.
And everything that I've done, I always post there. There's a
love it.
Specifically a video page that has all of my characters. It has some of these other videos that you've seen on it.
Sure.
I have a YouTube channel, which is Ben Hersey Vids.
Right.
V-I-D-S, Ben Hersey.
Okay.
The newest Obama project is actually called POTUS Poetry.
Right. And Ben...
which isn't necessarily funny.
Right. And Ben?
Which is poems that I've written... that are kind of about the Obama's campaign.
Right. And Ben, how do you spell your last name? H-E-R-S-E-Y?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so that's Ben, B-E-N, Hersey, H-E-R-S-E-Y.com. Thanks,
.com,
Ben.
Yes, and it has everything that I've done. And
okay.
You can, you know, certainly from there you can jump off and go to YouTube and
I love
Twitter
it.
And Facebook.
And one other thing I suggest... is now you gotta go brand yourself and go promote yourself. Thanks again. Thanks for coming on. Great job.
Thanks for having me, John.
Okay, my pleasure. Bye-bye. That was benhersey.com. Go to that website, and you'll see Ben at work, and man, is he good. Now, what I'm going to do is switch over to the Did You Know That?, where, you know, time really flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I haven't heard from you. I didn't hear from the
press. You know, I never really interrupt in those interviews. Unless it's a flaming liberal who deserves a butt kicking.
I did not say that. The name. That's TJ McCormick. This is John Tantillo, TJ McCormick, the Culture King, Frank Krasovic.
Frank.
On WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And now it's time for the show called Did You Know That? Where little known facts are brought center stage for your delight and entertainment. And now. Did you know that?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, did you know that? I guarantee you have traveled at a very high speed in one of the most sterling examples of brand evolution in all of history. And folks, I bet you never even gave it a second thought. Let's journey back to the final days of the horse-drawn carriage. That's when two young brothers from a family of carriage builders saw the writing on the wall. Automobiles had arrived. The family business faced ruin. Without a horse to power their carriage, many simply shuttered their doors. But the brothers got to work. They took their experience and skills as carriage builders and applied it to cars. They invented breakthrough tools and revolutionized traditional carriage designs that could withstand the extreme stresses of motoring. In less than 5 years, they went from almost zero to producing 100,000 cars annually. The brothers were named Fisher, and the company they had started in a storefront shop became the cornerstone of General Motors. As late as 1984, their logo was stamped on the door of every GM car. An elegant carriage from a bygone era. The only thing it was missing was a horse. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
Did you know? We're back.
Are you kidding? How do you do this?
Over and over.
Well, you see, you know, Frank here,
yeah.
After I write these things, I run it by him.
Right.
And, you know, of course, he's like the New York Times critic, you know.
Sure, sure.
Hated it, or, you know, or it goes on. But anyway, the interesting idea here, and this is something that I bring up time in and time out, mm-hmm. and that is the ability to adapt.
Yes.
To your times.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you think about all those ice makers
mm-hmm.
in the 1930s.
Right.
And then refrigeration came.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do?
They made Italian ices.
Oh, jeez.
Well.
Look at this.
I know.
Are we paying him per Joe?
No, absolutely
is
not.
Is he a Virginia ham or a baked ham?
What did you do?
Honey glazed.
What did you do with the money? What money? For the comedy lessons. Anyway, so the secret here, or the takeaway, yes. is the ability to reinvent yourself. And I mean, which, you know, and I talk about this as well in terms of the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were arrogant, and they thought that they were the only game in town, and then the airplanes came, and right. that was the end of it.
Right.
And so the old story here is that you have to look and mm-hmm. always consider the needs of your customers
yeah.
and do that. Which gets me to my loser of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have some time, we'll get to my friend Katy Perry again. But I want to at least hit on the loser, because my editor and I and producer of this show, Jonathan, the other night when we were sorting out who the winner and loser should be,
mm-hmm.
I talked about the California high-speed rail between L.A. and mm-hmm. San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, Jonathan, who lives in Manhattan, you know, just said how wonderful it is to go to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. By train.
Right.
And how convenient it is. I said, well, Jonathan, that's because you live in Manhattan.
Right.
If you live in Westchester, mm-hmm. if you live on Long Island, add another 2 hours to your trip at least.
Yeah.
And now, so, I mean, it's nice if you're on the Upper East Side. You take the car to, you take the taxi to
Penn Station,
and you're there in, you know, 4 hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the data that I, well, so, I said, well, you know, what I want to do here is I want to find out, you know, Jonathan is a very bright guy, and I'm probably wrong, as always, and he's always right. So what I did is I did a little research, and I found out that the most successful rail routes mm-hmm. in this country, by the way,
right.
Amtrak is $1 billion in the hole each year.
Amtrak just lost $8 million in the last 10 seconds.
So that's number one. But there are certain corridors right. that are moneymakers.
That are profitable.
And one
right, sure.
of them mm-hmm. was the New York to Washington.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the reason for that nobody tells you, is that, but they did a study, and that is that the most successful corridor lines or routes are the ones that are under 300 miles.
Right.
The ones in California is like 344
right.
miles, which is 44 miles more, which right. I think is the tipping point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That would probably screw the whole
thing
up.
Well, I think, John, I think it lives up to what you always talk about. The successful routes out there are not selling something they think are the successful routes. The unsuccessful routes are trying to sell something they want people to buy.
Right.
Whereas the whole, and I'll take it a step further, the entire Boston to Washington corridor,
right.
that entire Northeast corridor,
right.
but especially New York to Washington, that serves a need.
Yeah.
It serves a need. There are people who right. need that service.
But it's, and the reason, well, and what I'm saying is that it's that under 300 mile
right.
threshold
right.
that is important.
It's what people want.
Yeah. And also what was very interesting in this report that I read was this idea that the reason that service is increased is that there's a correlation between that and the increase in the population in Manhattan.
Sure.
So that
which is also a population so this that is doesn't what, own cars.
But as Tantillo said,
right.
somebody on Long Island isn't taking the
right.
isn't taking well, the ride to Washington, well, D.C. in the train.
It's an organic match as well. You have, these are two towns that are walking towns.
Right.
Not a whole lot of people own cars in D.C. Much fewer own cars in Manhattan.
44%. 44% of the people in New York City own cars, as right. opposed to 95% in the whole population.
Right.
Go ahead.
You know, and so you have two cities that are walking cities.
Right.
Two cities that have very centrally located train depots, Union
right.
Station in D.C. and Penn State. So it works. It works. And hence, you know, now living out in Los Angeles, as I did for nearly 13 years,
yeah.
I can tell you both of these most recent attempts at forays into high-speed rail are folly. The one to Vegas is an absolute folly, because that one, you're going to have to drive out to I'll think of that name while I'm talking. A town out in the desert,
Bakersfield.
Closer. Victorville. Out in the desert, and similarly, yeah, Bakersfield is north.
Right.
On the way to get to San Francisco, you'd have to drive north about 20, 30 miles to get that train. That's not going to go from downtown Los Angeles.
But you know, but this is
folly.
Well, it runs to this argument. Build it and they will come.
Right.
We know we are in charge, and we know what's best for you, and we know what's going to happen. My
right.
question is,
yeah.
it takes an hour to get, once you're in the airplane,
right.
1 hour to get from L.A.
Right, to San Fran.
This other thing is going to take 3 hours.
Right. It's going to be a novelty, and then it'll flame out. And by the way, you know what is guaranteeing the failure of this venture? That it's the government doing it. If this had any chance of ever being successful, and we're talking about a state that doesn't have any money. The third city in that state just went bankrupt. We have cities that are going to cease to be. Yeah. So now they want to spend $60 billion. They don't have 6 million.
Well, the feds are picking it up.
Well, that's the thing. If you want this thing to succeed, clear the way. Have the government create the opportunity for a private company to build this, and then it has a chance.
But you know, see, what's very interesting here is people forget that Amtrak was a result. Ready for this, folks? Bankrupt.
Yeah.
Railroads.
Right.
It couldn't compete, and as I like to say, railroads are a 19th century solution
right.
to a 21st century problem.
Right.
I mean, I love railroads.
Sure.
I love playing with my little Lionel trains.
I like when it works.
But this is nuts.
When it works for me, it is enjoyable. It can be an enjoyable experience. We also have to keep in mind, too, you know, you're talking about it was a result of a bankrupt, failed system of rails. It's still bankrupt and still failed. This has yet to turn a profit. This is the United States government flushing money down the toilet.
Right. Well, see, I don't like to get political as much as I like to get.
That's a fact.
But what I'm trying to say, what gets me going, yes. Your politics get you going. What right. gets me going is stupid branding.
Yes.
And stupid marketing.
Hey, you know
and
what?
This is stupid yeah. marketing.
You know what my brand is, by the way, this week?
What?
7 years sobriety.
Hey.
Seven years. That's
I'll drink
two,
to that.
Two, yes! 2,559 days I am sober today.
How about
that?
What I'm just so happy is you're in my life.
And I'm grateful for you. And anybody out there, if you have that as an issue, truth is, you don't have to drink.
Okay, that was Brand Talk. See you next week, Thursdays, 5 to 6.
Yeah.
See ya.